Florina and Carinha could read his thoughts. Or the other way round, the beau could read theirs. They understood each other without words. Well, as good as understanding works without words. Spoken words are, to a certain extent, far more precise, so to speak. Perhaps her parents had indeed moved because of the psychiatrist they feared. Arundel thought this quite well to be the case. On the other hand, travelling in a crowded suburban train every morning and evening was no fun either, despite the fact of all the time they lost this way. However, the writing of the psychiatrist on the wall in big red letters had its effect too, even though both of them would never have committed, definitely not before each other. As it goes with disturbed people, they don't necessarily feel disturbed. How disturbed her parents were, Arundel found out in comparison with her friend's family after she was acquainted with their parents as well. A childhood like hers had to cause severe problems in the long run. Nevertheless, she had her magic bow at last. He was able to compensate quite a lot of her grief over the years. But at school, he could not help either. Since her father had attacked Mr. Schwertfeger, school was almost unbearable. Schwertfeger was as disturbed as his parents were, and kept her in charge of their misbehavior as he saw it. He closed up on her frequently, and she couldn't help but wished herself away. How silly he then looked. He couldn't say whether she shrieked again once more. By the means of the magic bow, disappearing was so easy and worked faster than an eye's wink or the thinking of a thought. Clear enough, you doubt your recognition. What else could you do? All of a sudden, you realize an empty seat. Was it empty all the time? Must be so, as it is empty now. Shortly before the end of the lesson, she sat back on her stool and looked quite innocent. What did she do here? She asked herself, as she was most confused. Switching from one world into another was quite an experience. It was in their early days, when she didn't know her magic bow, or just weren't acquainted to. Mr. Schwertfeger got mad about her because of the new world map somebody embroidered with a tin spray. He immediately charged Arundel to be the culprit. Who else? Therefore, it occurred that the bow must have mixed something up, because in order to disappear, you had to formulate a strong wish. Strong and clear, as the bow explained later. You had to say, up to the moon, or what about a trip to Tobago? Clear things like that. Obviously, there had been a slight misunderstanding as Arundel found her all of a sudden in the peculiar environment she could deal with at all. Well, no, she couldn't deal with at all. Besides, she still carried her school bag over the shoulder and felt much smaller and younger as well. However, she had been quite sure to sit in the class already. Obviously not. She sat on a grey cloud instead, and below her she could see the shimmering walls of a castle or some kind of important building. As she looked on, she noticed that she kept sliding. The cloud didn't bear her weight. Just as she almost passed the bottom, her magic bow managed to pick her up. She fell off the clouds, literally, amidst a strange world, funny enough, round-down houses and walking laptops all over the place. The screens showed her faces, and two thin legs were fitted to the core, while two hands fixed on both sides hammered like mad on the keyboard as if they gave themselves orders in written form all the time. They seemed to be very busy. However, they didn't act very reasonably. They goofed back and forth without much sense. Should she try to get in touch with these creatures? She approached one of the busy secretaries and introduced herself, but no reaction. She tried it again. This time she stepped into the pace of a busy comrade. However, he just curved around her and continued on his route. As if they were guided by a secret center, Arundel thought. Then she remembered Leppy, as she called her little laptop. It should be in her bag. She searched for a little while, and there she was. Leppy was there. She pulled it out, thought for a moment, and switched on the international module. Leppy was in full command of 6 languages. That's what the instructions said. Besides, it was equipped with loudspeakers, but used up a lot of energy for that device. Therefore, it was better to turn the speakers on only when plugged in on a charger. However, here she couldn't ask for a plug. Therefore, she tried with the battery. She hoped the battery was fully charged, but that was not the case, as she had played the Settlers game in lesson yesterday and failed to repack for today. She tried it anyway and turned on the loudspeaker. Leppy's thin voice sounded in all 6 languages. Arundel made it ask for the people. Where have all the people gone? But no reaction. Busy and fixed to their roots, the little beings paced on. Are these human artifacts? Arundel wondered. It seemed so. Some of them slightly hesitated while getting disturbed, but that was it. Leppy's voice fainted. The battery gave up, and a little while later, Leppy was definitely dead. At least, the artifact thought. All of them stopped immediately as soon as Leppy's voice died. They circled Arundel, who tried to protect behind Leppy in vain. Arundel didn't understand what the artifact said, but she understood quite well what they meant, and that was no good. All of a sudden, a militia came marching along. In front, a general under a big golden cap, a mighty skull, followed by a little helmeted army. Finally, a man, thought Arundel, as the general approached. He looked quite different, not only because of the outfit, but also for the big red face under the cap and the fleshy belly. Yes, a human of flesh and blood he was, she thought, and he spoke reasonably well German after all. Geschatten, General Amiles, he snarled and saluted respectfully. With whom do I have the honor, please? Intimidated, the little is no good replied, and introduced herself as good as she could. The high man bowed himself down to her and grabbed her hand to raise it towards his lips, but shortly before he touched it, stopped. Küss die Hand, gnädigste, he snarled. So we are more or less compatriots. However, his friendly attitude led astray as the troops surrounded Arundel rudely. The general obviously wasn't the boss in his own house, so to speak. He let things go its pace and shrugged while the troops marched on. Leppy was driven away by an ambulance and was brought to the clinic for disabled artifacts. There, the doctors noticed